Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 418th episode of MTG Fast Finance, the podcast that's just one Fallout Surge foil away from retiring in style. MTG Fast Finance is your weekly podcast covering the world of Magic the Gathering finance, collection management, and speculation. I'm your host, James Chilcott, a.k.a. at MTG Critic on Twitter. My co-host is Cliff Daigle, at Word of Commander on Twitter, and we're here to help you folks make and save money playing our favorite game, Magic the Gathering.
Hello, everybody. As always, I'm looking forward to diving into all the developments of the week. But before we do, I want to remind all of our listeners that this show is produced by MTGPrice.com, the leading MTG finance community. Please sign up today at MTGPrice.com to plan your specs, chat on a great Discord, and read articles by some of the best financial minds in the hobby.
MTG Fast Finance is proudly sponsored by Cool Stuff, Inc., where you can find all sorts of cool, nerdy stuff in stock, including all the best in Magic the Gathering singles, sealed product, and a plethora of other collectibles. Use the promo code FINANCE5 during checkout at CoolStuffInc.com to save 5% off your order and support this podcast. Cliff, what is on our agenda this week?
We're going to lead off this week talking about some big modern events that happened over the weekend. Then we're going to move into our top movers for the week in paper and online. And segment four has you and I have some cards to watch. And then for our weekly topics, we've got a ban that happened yesterday. And also we need to talk a little bit about Fallout's prices. They're going kind of crazy.
Alrighty, we will kick things off with the metagame week in review. We're going to be looking at the Sunday and Friday modern events at SCGCon Philly this weekend. We have the Modern 5K that happened on Sunday was taken down by Amulet Titan. In second, third, and fourth, we have Esper Reanimator featuring four Goryeo's Vengeance, four Atraxa Grand Unifier, and copies of Solitude and Grief for each, as well as two Gristlebrand and four Phalagi Archaeologist. Whole deal here is you're going to discard with Tainted Indulgence or Archaeologist, get something big in the yard, and try to find your Goryeo's to get something nasty into play and hope your opponent cannot deal with it.
Phalagi Archaeologist is really the perfect card because you get the mill three, and that's what you want to do. You want to mill yourself. But then you get the non-creature, non-land into your hand, and the creatures just kind of stay there. So you get, you know, if you mill your Touch to Spirit Realm, your Ephemerate, your Goryeo's Vengeance, whatever it is you want to do, you're going to probably get that card, and then you've got something sweet in the yard. You got the four Atraxa and the two Gristlebrand. Oh, Gristle Daddy showing up in Modern. Love it.
Four-color Omnath in fifth. Living End, now facing the ban we'll talk about shortly, in sixth. Black-green Yawgmoth in seventh. And a rare appearance from Eldrazitron. Yes, the original configuration. Three Matter Reshaper, four Thought Not Seer, and two Reality Smasher. Biggest upgrade they've had is same one that most Tron builds use, which is multiple copies of the One Ring, in this case, three copies. Over in the Modern 10K that had 399 players, it was Esper Reanimator taking first and second here. Green Tron in third, four-color Omnath in fourth, Living End in fifth. Green Tron in sixth, Amulet Titan in seventh, and then a notable appearance from Gruul Asmo Food in eighth place. Interesting thing here is they just banned a card presumably to target rhinos, and there are no rhinos in the top eight of either of these fairly large tournaments.
I mean, people want to get their last hurrah in, and we're going to talk about that ban more, but maybe people are just more ready for the shenanigans that are coming. This food deck looks like such a great time. I can't imagine having a bad time playing a silly-ass deck like this. This is so much fun to watch.
You just got to get your reps in, because that's the kind of deck that you can easily go to time if you don't know what you're doing. One of the things I think is interesting to call out about this Esper Reanimator package and why it may have been well-positioned against Rhinos is because whether you pull up Gristlebrand or Atraxa, you are putting a huge lifelinker on the table that can easily block a Rhino and make up the damage from the other one. So it effectively blocks two things. And then with Atraxa, it's got Vigilance as well. So on the counter swing, you would also be gaining seven. And that starts to put you out of range, even if they can get another set of rhinos on the table. The other thing is that Solitude, of course, is a life gainer, and you could, in a pinch, target your own Gristlebrand or Atraxa to gain a bunch of life. There's just a ton of life gain here and on the associated with beefy bodies. And, of course, the Grief-Solitude combo was flagged early on in MH2 spoilers and has been off and on good in the format ever since. They've got the four Ephemerates here, which they can use to put Atraxa Grand Unifier back in the battlefield to blink a Solitude, blink a Grief. Very, very nice.
It's all money, yeah. It's so good.
Curious to see whether this continues to be well-positioned as the format adjusts to the banning of Violent Outburst. Segment 2, Top Paper Movers of the Week. Ephemerate Retro, not surprisingly, as a result of the upswing in this Esper Goryeo's Vengeance deck. Foils from MH2 going $650 to $10. That's 54% gains. You got that the Esper Reanimator. You got Black White Scam packages and other builds. And you've also got Delmy making use of this in Commander. Path of Peril, Extended Arts from Vow, 9 to 13. Continues an upward swing on the back of needing to counter the Boros Convoke decks that show up in both Standard and Pioneer. Altar of Dementia out of the original printing from Tempest, 15 to 25, just regular copies. That's going to be Mothman EDH driving that, since it cares about dumping things into the yard and giving everybody rad counters. Maddening Hex Extended Art out of AFC going 7 to 11, 57% gains on the back of Mr. House Dice Rolling, I would imagine. 57% inclusion in that deck. Last week, I called out Altar of Dementia schematic foils out of Brothers War to go 14 to 26 or so, and they went 15 to 25 shortly thereafter, so we're going to call that a win. In a lot of cases like this, you got to make sure that you're not going to get backslid after the speculators finish their business, but because of the fact that this is already a widely played card in EDH and fits very well into Mothman as it's getting built, I have a feeling it will stay under pressure for a little while yet.
I mean, the mill decks are... Mill decks always want a mill, so, and this is one of the fun ways to do that.
Joyra, Weatherlight Captain, out of DMU, I guess that should be, going $450 to $7. That's going to be Dr. Madison Lee driving that. Madison Lee gets energy counters, or you get energy counters off Lee when you cast artifacts, and of course, Joyra lets you draw cards when you do so. Galahadrim Ambush, the Scrolls version out of Lord of the Rings Holiday Edition, going $3 to $5 in non-foil. That's in 15,000 decks on EDH Rec so far, 2% inclusion overall in green decks. Selvala, Heart of the Wilds, foil etched, continues the upward trend line on foil etched cards in general across multiple printings and sets. $16 to $28 for 75% gains here on a very good group huggy type card in Commander. Oh wait, no, this isn't the green white one. This is the green big mana one. The big mana one. Still a very good green card in Commander. Goryeo's Vengeance, of course, was the heart of the Esper deck that did so well on the weekend at SCG Con. $650 to $12 for regular copies, 85% gains. And I don't think this has had a reprint since UMA, has it?
I don't believe so. Let me bring that up real quick. But it, because it's so niche and it's an arcane. Yeah, it was an Ultimate Masters and Betrayers of Kamigawa. That's it, buddy.
So yeah, that could catch a reprint any which way. There was a box topper version associated with UMA as well, but that's it. So I would imagine this could easily see a secret layer later this year. Wouldn't surprise me.
It's 5 years old, so this is ripe.
Vodalian Wave Knight seems to have been targeted. This is a MOC card, so a would have come out of Mom Collector Boosters, and you know, this is a card that benefits both knights and merfolk. It is a 3/3 for 4. Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on each other merfolk and knight you control. It's in 10,000 decks on EDH Rec, but mostly in Sadar Jabari. I did not flag what could be driving this. Did we see knights coming for Outlaw Junction or something?
I haven't seen any special knights coming, no. So it could just be people want to do fun merfolk stuff. Most of the merfolk have been Simic related, so I don't know either.
Is there a knight card in Fallout?
Not particularly. Most of them are in Fallout. Let's see. Creature type knight. There's a couple of them. The Paladin is one that comes to mind. But no. Let's see. Doesn't mention knights specifically. There's no knight tribal going on. Knight type, excuse me.
I'm sure somebody in the Discord will let us know. Yeah. Poxwalkers I caught being played in a Legacy deck, and it's also probably got some Mothman pressure. 40k card going $1.25 to $2.50 in regular. Mesmeric Orb Schematics non-foil going 9 to 18. 100% gains there off Mothman EDH. And I managed to snag some of the foil Japanese for about $4 this afternoon, so I was pretty stoked about that. Greater Oromancy Confetti Foils out of Wilds of Eldraine bonus cards. This is the anime art. Given how Rhystic Studies, Smothering Tithe, and Omniscience have been doing, people have been extending into other confetti foils, so I'm not surprised to see this get pushed 60 to 125 on 22,000 decks running it in EDH on EDH Rack. Night Shift of the Living Dead Galaxy Foils out of Infinity, 8 to 18. That's going to be Mr. House die rolling, and that's going to be the same story for Ancient Brass Dragon Borderless Foils going 55 to 150. Almost none of those left on TCG Player. Attempted Murder Galaxy Foils going 7 to 18. 150% plus gains. The key with Mr. House is that on the second clause, or the second ability on his text box, he's looking for D6s, but isn't limited to you rolling D6s. So anything you're rolling that's a D20, if you're looking for a 6 or higher, you're going to have a 75% chance of hitting that. And of course, those are going to be highly coveted for this deck.
I mean, I wrote a whole article about it way back when it came out in October. It mentioned several of these cards already, and hopefully our readers were able to get in on that trend real cheap. I built the deck, and you're right. He is exploiting that hard, and it's a lot of fun to play.
Mesmeric Orb Mirrodin version, 10 to 30 non-foil, 200% gains. If you got a bunch of Magic cards sitting around in boxes in your house like I do, I guarantee you you have some Mesmeric Orbs. I think they were printed in the list. They're in Brothers War CBs and Mirrodin. So if you were into any of those products, you probably have some of these sitting around you're supposed to sell, because almost all of them are $20 plus right now.
Double Masters as well had some copies.
There is some speculation that Ardent Plea will take on the role of Violent Outburst in Modern as the other three casting cost Cascade card, assuming that the mana can be worked out. As a result, it went $3 to $16 and could be headed even higher. It doesn't seem like the kind of card would be on Wizards' radar to reprint anytime soon. I would be willing to bet it's not in Modern Horizons 3. I would be willing to bet it's not on the agenda yet for a secret layer. So if this becomes a thing in Modern where you actually need copies of this, this could be pretty hard to get your hands on.
I mean, it's an uncommon from Alara Reborn, and it had a list copy for a little while in there, and that's it. So the supply has never really been great. This was last put into serious circulation in 2009, so you're looking at 15-year-old uncommons that if you are organized with your bulk, you've got all of these ready to slap on a TCG player right now, then you should go ahead and do that.
Finishing things off, Kalidus Assassin Surge Foils out of 40k, $3 to $11. That's going to be Atrada and the announcements related to Assassin's Creed that's driving that. Cliff had an article that covered some of this stuff on March 2nd, so good job there. Ardent Plea already covered, so I guess that gets us to the end of our list. Moving on over to the Magic Online Movers of the Week, we've got Urza's Saga out of MH2, 17.8 tickets to 23 tickets, 29% gains on the back of strong Modern play. Name Sticker Goblin is another big dice rolling card. I guess people can play Commander on Magic Online, so maybe Mr. House is moving that. 3.16 tickets to 5.81, 84% gains. And then the big winner of the week is Indomitable Creativity, either Revolt, 1.81 to 4.08, 125% gains on the back of Pioneer Action. I don't think that one's had a reprint either, right?
I do not believe it has. No, it's only been in Aether Revolt, and there hasn't been more copies of it around. Wait, wasn't it a secret lair? I feel like it was.
Nope.
Nothing.
Not that I've seen. On over to cards to watch. I'm liking the looks of Atraxa Grand Unifier. Foils in particular. Oil Slicks are already $80 or $90. There's not a lot of meat on the bone left there. Like, I could see them going to $200 eventually, just because that's a very unique printing. But in the interim, I'd be looking at a higher ROI gain potentially on the regular foils. 25 to 45 seems pretty reasonable here. They were as low as 13 or 14 about halfway back down the road to its release. It's a 4 of in the Esper Reanimator deck. There's no reason that that deck can't stay good in Modern. Of course, we are looking at a big shakeup from MH3 this summer, so anybody's guess whether Atraxa would stay the biggest thing you want to put in play. But it's in 20,000 decks on EDH Rec as well, in between being a commander, which is about half of that, and being included in other decks. And it's Atraxa. I mean, this is one of the more popular characters of all time. Every time it gets cast in Commander, it's a problem. and we've seen it plenty of times at our tables and in Sloan's hands and elsewise. So I'm liking these foils. There's not that many left on TCG Player. We're looking at a very, you know, modest 17 listings or something, with nobody having particularly deep inventory. I could very easily see this being a gainer as a mythic.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on this. I think that at some point there might have been a case to be made that with Atraxa being, you've got the oil slick version, you've also got the step and complete foil, which is $40-some-odd right now, and there's a really similar quantity, but that step and complete foil has gone up something like $10 since the start of this year, and there's very few listings of that as well. I think you're right that you'd be able to get this for 20-something, 25-ish, and go to 45. That seems real solid. I'd be more likely to see that happen than the step and complete version go from its current point of around $45 to $50 to that hit 75 or 80 where the oil slicks are now. I think that's less likely than these regular frame foils making the jump 25 to 45. I'm with you on that. That seems totally solid and logical.
How about your first selection here?
My first pick is out of Ravnica Remastered, the Guardian Project in Borderless Foil. You can get these for a surprisingly low price. This is the most expensive version of Guardian Project. It was just included in Fallout, and you can get some cheap copies of Fallout of Guardian Project right now. But this is by far the coolest looking version. You can get it borderless. You've got the anime thing going on. They're attaching some wings. It looks real cool and has a price that deserves it. You can pick them up right now on TCG Player for, you know, around $27, $28. And I think they're going to hit around $45. It's clearly a staple. It basically turns all your cards into all your creatures into cantrips in green. This is the best version. Supply is draining out. And if you wanted to get the non-foils, I could see that happening as well, because there's not a lot of those left either.
I pulled a Surge Foil of these out of my the single box of Fallout CBs that I opened this weekend, and I immediately tried to put it into Pantlaza and realized the 4 or 5 cards that did a similar thing did it better. So I believe in its role as a staple, but I also think that these kinds of cards, you know, utility card draw that's semi-conditional on creatures, gets versions all the time, and so I would want to be a little bit careful from that perspective that it could get crowded out. However, I did buy several of these in Japan this weekend at sub $10 because that just seemed too good to be true. And probably worth looking at Europe as well, because I would imagine demand is very soft in both locations for this card. In terms of going in on these at 25 to get to 45, given the number of listings we're looking at and the fact that Ravnica Remastered was clearly undersold versus original intent, they're, you know, I imagine you will get there on these. It's just going to take a little bit of time, probably 6 months, a year, maybe 18 months.
Good thing I put down 6 to 12 then.
Sounds good. All right, I think this one's probably our pick of the week, because since I put it on my list on the weekend as I was over in Japan scalping the hell out of Surge Foil Nuka-Colas at just ridiculously low prices, the Soul Ring that I pulled out of my Fallout CB, I reflected on the fact that the non-Surge Foil foils, which are like $2 or $3 or something on TCG Player, are actually the most beautiful version. And the reason for that is the blue foiling that goes around the Nuka-Cola cap really stands out on the regular frame foils, as opposed to the Surge Foil, where you have this additional layer of all the surge at oblique angles that kind of obscures the premise of the art. And as a result, I think you can, you know, reach for the regular foils for $2 or $3 for your decks and be very, very happy with the result. I encourage you to do so. It's very cheap. They look great. But the market is going to respond to the Surge Foil thing as it has been for the rest of the year. And we're already down to like 7 listings.
This is opening. Wow.
My man, this is opening weekend. That is just obscene to have. This is only an uncommon. It's not like this is a mythic special guest card or anything. It's just a foil uncommon in the set. You and I established that there was, you know, there's the Fallout print run overall is low, so there's lower than usual numbers of all rarities. And this is a mega staple. But given that it's already been targeted like this, this is going to go, you know, 11 to 30 in a hurry here. And you hear this, you go buy a few copies. That's all you're going to get your hands on, but you're going to do well on them, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not sure it'll make 30. I agree with you. There's going to be a price jump. There's 9 damn copies around. I don't know if this is after speculators came after it, or if just people said, like, holy biscuits, this blue foil looks so cool on the playmat, so let me get a copy of the actual card. But, like, 20-ish, I think, is a lock. I don't know if we'll get all the way to 30, like, if this will triple up, but there's so few copies. Like, it goes to 15, and then it jumps to 45. So, you know, the next 10 people have a real steal on their hands. Congratulations to the early listeners.
Keeping in mind that the Mythic Pip-Boy Borderless Surge Foils are going market price $98 right now.
Fallout's pretty bananas, like we're going to talk about.
And across multiple secret layers that have had good versions of Sol Ring, the Cat one, that's $63 market price, the Galaxy Foil, which is $58, the Pride Sol Ring, which is currently just under $20. There's plenty of examples of Sol Rings being able to be plus 20, plus 30. So given how rare these are and how good they look, I will not at all be surprised to see this hit target.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
What about your final selection?
My last pick this week is another Surge Foil. Good call on that. I think everybody lives in Surge Foil extended art is ready to pop off at its current price of $32. It's the second most popular card from Doctor Who. It's basically Heroic Intervention. We know how popular that card is. We know what a staple that is. Since it's from the Universes Beyond, it's going to be harder to reprint. We don't have any more of Doctor Who coming. If there was going to be some random palette opened, it would have showed up. And, you know, right now there's, you know, under 100 vendors on TCG Player who have this card. There's only three of them who have four copies or more. So I think that given the number of copies selling for this in, I was looking at the wrong version of Everybody Lives. I wanted to look at the extended art ones. So let me bring up that number again. The extended art Surge Foils currently, there's only 38 vendors and nobody has more than 4 copies. So there's a lot less of this than I just said a moment ago. And with the rate that it's selling at, where all your creatures gain hexproof and indestructible end of turn, you gain hexproof, you can't lose life this turn, players can't lose or win this turn. There's just a lot of ways to use this card. And this is the best version of a card that's already clearly popular. And it should go from about $32 to $55 or so, I think, in the next 6 to 12 months.
My only conceit here is that I think the regular copies might be the play. You can currently get those around $10 or so. There are massive walls, which is usually something that pushes me off. Company has 183 copies listed. But here's the thing. Those are selling pretty quick. Just on March 12th alone, it has sold 14 copies. So that's a pretty brisk pace. There are 84 listings. It's got to be, I'm going to call it 320 copies or something between most of the vendors. And there's really only massive walls for, if you're calling massive, like 20 copies plus for 3 or 4 vendors, right? Everybody else is onesie-twosie. And so I would imagine that keeping in mind, we're doing a gaming company singles buy this week. So if this card is on that list, somebody could be snapping them off and they could just disappear. Right.
Right.
And this card is better than Heroic Intervention because it gives, creatures gain hexproof and indestructible. Players gain hexproof, but players also can't lose life this turn and can't lose the game or win the game. So it's got a little Platinum Angel action built into it. There's a lot of different play you can get out of that. And yeah, I think if I was if I was biting this off, I'd be going after the regular copies, at least in North America. Maybe I can get some cheaper, fancy copies overseas that would justify a get-in. I think it's tough to get from, you're saying, 32 to 55 here. How many total decks are running it so far on EDH Rec?
Just under 16,000, if I remember the number correctly. Let me double-check that. 14,000.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. And the overall inclusion rate is 3%. It's not amazing. In fact, Doctor Who, as we've flagged a couple of times, is probably underplayed in general. Every time I look at the set of cards in this set, I'm like, several of these cards are a lot better than people realize at first glance.
Right. But we can only play so many cards.
Yeah. It's possible this goes under the radar, would be my concern in fancy version. But it's also true that Heroic Intervention has tons of alternate versions, and I bet you this one dodges it for a long time.
That's also very true.
Because it directly references Doctor Who IP.
I can't wait till we get the first set of real, like, Universes Beyond reprints, and you and I get to be able to say for certain, you know, that they're able to do certain cards. Like, if it references a certain place, is it just every card in this set? There's just information that we don't have yet, because we don't have access to the actual IP licensing agreement on reprints.
I think the biggest test, as we've talked about in the past, that's likely to come up in the next year or two is what happens with the One Ring.
Right.
Because
that's an excellent case study.
Because they're going to need more copies. I can guarantee you that. There's absolutely no way they can go 3 to 5 years or that will be a $500 card.
I mean, everybody needs you need a Precious. Everybody needs the Precious. You can't let the Precious go. You got to get your own, and yours has to be better than everybody else's.
The only way they could slow that down is if it was so dominant and modern, they banned it there. That would help.
I don't think that would change much, man. It's so good in Commander.
It would change. But Jeweled Lotus, keep in mind, isn't even in a lot of Commander decks. Like, if you're in 3, 4, 5 color Commander, you might not even run Jeweled Lotus. But it's, you know, fancy versions of that are $500 plus. So maybe you're right. Switching on over to weekly topics, there was a modern ban announcement this week, and they went after Violent Outburst, which was pretty clearly a way of trying to put Rhinos in check now that they have Leyline of the Guild Pact.
Right.
That is just making versions of that deck completely ridiculous. My guess is that in the presence of that card, they've seen an uptick in win rates on Magic Online and decided to make a move. But again, we see, you know, Modern is still diverse enough that though Rhinos was showing up pretty much every week here and there in top eights, you saw that double one this weekend where it pre-ban, you know, and nobody knew for sure what was being banned. It did not top eight either of those major tournaments. So I would imagine that based on the chatter I've seen, this does not kill the deck. There's the chance they switch over to Ardent Plea. And then if nothing else changes, maybe they have to ban Ardent Plea eventually. There's the chance that they go, I think Aspiring Spike was testing out Bloodbraid Marauder.
Oh my gosh.
Got Delirium going early and turn tuned a Living End on stream today. So Living End and Rhinos are now in rebuild mode where they're trying to figure out whether they can be built into tier 1 or at least tier 1.5 decks, and that will shake out over the next couple weeks, and of course we will keep you posted. Other than that, Modern looks, you know, as good to me as it has since MH2. Everybody complains about how that set was a hard, you know, reset for the format. And I understand that angle of complaint, and we're probably going to get a lot more of that this summer with MH3.
I was going to say, that's definitely on the agenda.
But I like the format better when it refreshes. Do people really think that if they had never printed the Horizon series, that Modern would be a fresh, cool format right now? I bet you it would have long since devolved into 3 or 4 decks. Titan, Tron, maybe some reanimator strategy. And I guarantee the format would be less diverse and less interesting. It's good to have like 10 to 15 tier 1.5 decks, 2 or 3 tier 1s, and 30 or 40 tier 2s and 3s. Like, it's just more interesting.
I see where you're coming from. I get, though, that a lot of modern players, because it's a non-rotating format, a lot of players like get invested in their deck. And especially if you get invested in your deck as being a tier one deck, then when this set comes out and it changes all of the tiers dramatically, which, quite frankly, they happened in Modern Horizons 1, Modern Horizons 2, should happen in Modern Horizons 3. This is a set deliberately designed to be at a high enough power level to shake up Modern to make us want to buy these packs. So stuff is going to get shaken up, and it represents entrenched players losing out on the deck that they have, you know, painstakingly foiled and they've put in thousands of reps with. And their pet deck is no longer going to be at the same level of power. It won't be the new tech. It won't be the new thing. And, you know, these are people who want everything to stay the same except for their deck getting better and all the other decks getting worse. So the fact that there's so much change in a non-rotating format kind of scares some people. But I think it's a good thing to have, because we want that shaking up, because like you said, things would have just kind of gotten stoic and bloated. But now we get, you know, even more cool things on the horizon, and heaven only knows what kind of shenanigans is coming for us.
The other thing people need to keep in mind is there's nothing saying that new cards in MH3 won't bring back old decks. We know that they're printing a bunch of Eldrazi, which is clearly targeted at relaunching some form of Eldrazi Tron at a higher level of competitiveness. They could give us new humans cards that bring that back in. They could reinforce goblins or merfolk. They could give Jund enough pieces of the puzzle at a very high level of power that it can get back into the action, you know, above tier 2.5. And I think there's ample evidence that reinvigoration of archetypes is part of their agenda with these sets. And I think that's a good thing, because it will render cards on a cycle. And people liked the idea of Modern being the new legacy, where you could just play your stuff forever. But that was never realistic. They're only going to print products and focus on products that get you buying on a regular basis. That's why Commander is at the heart of Magic now, because a guy like me that used to own almost no decks now owns 25, pushing 30. and that's what they want.
30
they want
Commander whales. Decks?
They want whales to continue to collect. And they want Modern players to refresh their decks. And if there's a format where you don't need any new cards, they are not going to support it, because it makes no business sense whatsoever for them to do that.
They have that, and it's called Vintage.
Well, yeah, but they don't support that. And that's my point, is that,
that's,
you know,
very true.
And they also don't go out of their way to support things like Pauper, because the idea that you only need commons doesn't help them either. So I think there's a very good chance that we're in for a very interesting summer. There was some discussion in the Discord this week about maybe taking it easy on Modern staples and until we see how it shakes out. But I also think there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunity there. The MH3 preview season will be the most interesting one since MH2. There will be a flurry of activity. We will see all sorts of cards popping off.
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
As new thematic, you know, archetypes start to get tested and move into the zeitgeist, as combo pieces emerge, etc. It's going to be a very busy summer, and it's already been a very busy winter. Like, my sales have never been like this in the first quarter of the year, and Fallout was just is absolutely crazy. Let's talk about some of this. Because they only printed like 30,000 CBs, almost nobody could get their hands on them. They were selling retail.
To be clear, 30,000 commander, I'm sorry, 30,000 collector booster boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's an extremely low number globally, because that also includes the Japanese contingent, which is 15 or, you know, 10 to 15% probably of the total. And so in terms of English collector booster boxes, there was probably 25 to 27,000 or something overall. And as a result, the bobbleheads, despite being very medium cards, they're the serial charisma bobblehead is like 500 market, and a few of the others are 300 to 400. The Surge Ring borderless surge foil is $100. The Nuka-Cola vending machine borderless surge foil is 84 market. The Ravages of War borderless surge foil is 75 or so. The Caesar's Legion Emperor showcase surge foils are 64 market. I bought a bunch of those in Japan at $6 this weekend. Dogmeat, Everloyal, Surge Foils, 60+. Nuclear Fallout, Surge Foils, 60+. Dr. Madison Lee, 60+. Radstorm's 55. Fogcrawler, which is Vigor, is 55. The Wise Mothman Surge Foil is 48 market, but there's only 5 listings left. Pretty crazy stuff. And I think the biggest win I got scooping in Japan this weekend was they didn't realize what you and I had been talking about, that the regular rare Surge Foils were actually extremely rare. And the Nuka-Cola vending machine Surge Foils, they got to 200 plus this weekend before the prices filled in underneath. And now I see the lowest prices on basically new accounts floating in the $70 to $90 range. And it's hard to tell whether those are, you know, people that lucked out and pulled one and set up an account just to sell it, or it's people that are setting up false low prices so that they can get people to match it and then buy them so they can sell them later at 100 plus. But I can tell you that there really aren't very many of those around overall. And Nuka-Cola vending machine is only an uncommon, so it's a little easier for them to fill in than some of the rares. But
Yes and no, because the rarity doesn't matter in how things show up in the collector boosters.
Oh, because there's not multiple uncommon slots?
So in the collector boosters, and if folks want to go read my article on Friday about the Mana Math of Fallout, they can do that. The way that they did this was that there were slots for each of the 4 decks, and you have an equal chance of pulling that card from that slot. And so for pulling a card, whether you're talking about traditional foil, regular frame, extended art surge foils, you have the same odds for each of those cards from that deck. It's just saying that they didn't rearrange it by printed rarity, and they just put everything from a deck into a slot. So it doesn't matter whether its official symbol is common, uncommon, rare, mythic. You have the same odds of getting every card of a certain treatment as every other card with that same treatment. It doesn't matter what the symbol is on it, with the exception of basic lands.
Are there multiple slots for uncommon foils that are not Surge? Because like, let me tell you why I'm asking, because I want to illuminate this for people. Often the way that a collector booster pack is arranged with a standard set is that one of the reasons that, you know, a rare foil versus a mythic foil is harder to find than an uncommon foil is because multiple of the slots, you know, slot 5, 6, and 7 are uncommon foils. Whereas the rare foils would only be in one slot. And then the rare showcase foil could be in this other slot. But right. You're saying that because they're a surge foil uncommon, they are the same rarity as a surge foil rare?
If it is available in, so Nuka-Cola, if that's the one specific one we're talking about, is only available in its regular frame and the Fallout Boy frame. So it doesn't come in the extended art frame, so it doesn't show up in those slots, but it does show up at equal rarity to other, so the traditional foil regular frames, you're going to get a specific card every round, every 70 collector boosters.
And the Nuka-Cola was only in one of the deck lists?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Because that's pretty key, right? If the Soul Ring appears in all 4.
Let me make sure. Vending machine. Nope, only in Science. So it is only available in regular frame for traditional foil and surge foil. And then you can get regular frame, traditional foil, and surge. In the Vault Boy art, where, you know, let's all go to the lobby looking, you can get non-foils, traditional foils, and surge foils.
Yeah, so to make this very clear, in the collector boosters for Fallout, each of the decks has a slot where you can find traditional foils. So there's 4, there's 5 decks?
4.
4 decks. 4 decks, 4 slots. And then in that slot, 9 times out of 10, you get a regular foil.
Correct.
So for instance, regular foil Soul Ring that's available for $2 or whatever. And because it appears in all four decks, it would appear in all four slots. So there's a lot of those around. But the Surge foil would be a 1 in 10. So for the Surge foil Soul Ring, it can still show up in any of those four slots. So it's functionally four times more common than the Nuka-Cola, which only shows up in the Science slot in Surge foil.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And the important detail here is that when it comes to, like, if Soul Ring can show up four times as often, that's pretty great. But the fact that Nuka-Cola vending machine is listed as uncommon, Soul Ring with the opening the vault door art is also listed as uncommon. That's the same number of those copies are out there as Ravages of War in the Fallout Boy. The Fallout Boy art. So even though one is mythic, one's uncommon, the same number of them exist.
Right. Well, I mean, the Soul Ring in the opening the vault door art is actually a mythic, declared a mythic.
But it doesn't matter.
In the context of the slot that it would appear.
In the context of how many copies are out there and what slot it appears in, yes.
Because that would be the, which slot would the fancy Soul Ring appear in?
The Borderless Surge foil is in the very last slot, the same one as the serialized double rainbow cards.
You're talking about the one called One Traditional Foil, Surge Foil, or Serialized Double Rainbow Card?
That is correct.
Oh, that's so confusing.
This is why I gotta write an article every time.
No, but like it doesn't actually say Borderless Pip Card anywhere in that paragraph.
It says Borderless Vault Boy a little higher up, but yes. Let's see, do they...
No, it's a little higher up. It says, cannot be a showcase Pip-Boy, Borderless Vault Boy, or basic land card.
Right, because earlier in the article, they say that, like, if you scroll up to where Borderless Vault Boy artwork, Borderless Vault Boy artwork is exclusive to collector boosters, which contain a selection of nine cards with the Arcanic Vault Boy.
I get all that. Okay, I see what you're saying. The second last slot in the collector booster is one traditional foil, surge foil, or serialized double rainbow card. This can include four uncommons, 22 rares, and nine mythic rares available, each appearing equally to each other, which means that those fancy versions don't have rarity. They're all rare, like,
equal drop rate, yes.
as an attribute, not as an actual rarity. And then 1 in 10 of them can be a surge foil version. So this is the slot where you could find the Pip-Boy Soul Ring, and that could be a traditional foil version, it could be the Surge foil version, or it could be a serialized double rainbow, but that would only apply to the bobbleheads.
Right.
Correct. They did a very bad job of explaining that particular paragraph.
Well, this is why I write the article every time a new set comes out, trying to explain what you're going to get from each slot. So
yeah. Fair enough. And so given that analysis, it should be no huge surprise that the showcase surge foils of the various video game style frames are very expensive. The Pip-Boy Borderless Arts, especially in surge foil, are very expensive. And the surge foil cards that are rare or uncommon, it doesn't matter, that only appear in one of the decks and are popular are very expensive, and that's the Nuka-Cola. So hopefully that gets people straightened out on that. The bottom line is, whatever you want from this set, you probably don't want to wait the usual 6 months to get it, because I don't think that's going to work out for you.
I'm inclined to agree. I'm upset that I can't get a Pip-Boy version of Mr. House, but I have bit the bullet and spent the extra on the extended art Surge foil for Mr. House, because I didn't want my deck to wait any longer.
Fair enough. I think that gets us covered for this week. I am on vacation next week, so it should be you and Sloan in the driver's seat, and we will catch all of you on the flip side of my incredibly warm weather ski trip, apparently. Where can folks find you online, my friend?
You can find me online at Twitter at Word of Commander, or my articles every Friday on mtgprice.com.
You folks can find me on Twitter at MDGCritic, as well as via my occasional articles on MGGPrice.com. I'd also like to remind our listeners to check out the MGGPrice.com Pro Trader service. For just $9.99 a month or $109.99 per year, you can get early access to this podcast, fantastic articles that buy the best MGG finance minds in the business, low-cost group buys, and a super active Discord forum that will drive better returns and save you money. playing Magic the Gathering.
Once again, MTG Fast Finance is proudly sponsored by Cool Stuff, Inc., where you can find all sorts of cool nerdy stuff in stock, including all the best in Magic the Gathering singles, sealed product, and a plethora of other collectibles. Please use the promo code FINANCE5, that's finance with the number 5, during checkout at coolstuffinc.com to save 5% off your order and support this podcast. So, James, next week, the cat's away, buddy. I'm going to have a good time with this.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Sloan, in advance. And we will see all of you next week on another episode of MTG Fast Finance.